5 as we begin. Ephesians 5. Brethren, as you know, we are living in a world that is being terrorized in many different ways and many different places. Our world here in the U.S. changed dramatically September 11th in 2001. Since then, the way we do almost everything has been affected, if you think about it, going all the way back to that period of time. And then when you add the COVID crisis years later, which is like 4 or 5 years ago now, and all the insanity that was imposed by our government created even more trauma for people. I mean, people were getting really nervous and antsy about just about everything. As a result, we had to suffer through the illegal immigration insanity sponsored and encouraged again by our own government over the last several years. And we're still paying the price for that. Just last week, there was a massive crackdown by the ICE, ICE officials and Border Patrol against violent crimes of illegal aliens in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was a really big deal. The mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina is a stout Democrat and unbelievably liberal. And this individual was actually encouraging all these illegal immigrants to do whatever they wanted to do. And that got involved in a lot of really bad crime. And several countries around the world are having to deal with several Islamic groups, and they continue to create havoc everywhere they go. There's isolated reports that don't get much attention from the major news sources about attacks against Christians in the Middle East and parts of Africa. And if you do some research, you can find these spots. And it's brutal what's going on in some of these countries and some of these places around the world. This is what terrorists do. They make you afraid, and you end up changing the way you live so that you can hopefully be and feel safer. And of course, they spawn all kinds of copycats. Everybody wants their name in the paper. We ourselves often don't realize how blessed we really truly are and how thankful we ought to be until we have to what we have is maybe threatened or ready to be taken away from us. And there have been threats of that over the past 4 or 5 or 6 years. Most people on Thanksgiving Day probably set aside at least a couple of moments to express gratitude and thankfulness for what they do have and being able to celebrate together as family and friends. And maybe in some cases what they don't have, recognizing that life isn't always a bowl of cherries, so to speak. Here in Ephesians 5, Paul points out that to be thankful for what God has done for us should be a state of mind that we maintain always. And I hope that that's the main point of the message today, especially in this present evil world where we see so much in the world around us. And we'll see that it ties into the sermon that Mr. Buchanan just gave last Sabbath. You'll see what I mean in a few moments. Let's pick it up in Ephesians 5 and begin reading in verse 15. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, like we heard last week. It's essential to be wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, understanding that the time that we have is limited. We've got 24 hours in a day. We've only got 365 days in a year. And who knows how many years we have left? We don't know. But what we do have, God's trying to tell us, redeem it. That means use it wisely. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, these correlations that we heard about in the sermon last week. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. In other words, be joyful in the environment in which you find yourself. And then verse 20, always giving thanks. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. But as I have mentioned in prior messages, this can be hard to do, depending on our perspective at any moment in time. because our perspective will change the way we react and respond to things around us and people around us. Many times our approach toward being thankful is a matter of perspective while we go about our lives. I don't know if you've heard of the name Wayne Dyer, but he's quite an author on self-improvement, and I've read several of his books over the years. One of the books he wrote is quoted to have said this: change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change. Let me repeat that. Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change. Perspective. And from another unknown author, we have this: a different perspective changes everything. And if you stop and think about that, it's true. And perspective is everything when you are experiencing the challenges of life. The challenges of life sometimes help us to lose perspective, and we start focusing inwardly and only on our issues and our problems and our difficulties. But there may be other people out there in the world who have difficulties that are far greater than ours, maybe more traumatic than ours. I just met somebody, I didn't really meet him. I had a communication with an individual from Salt Lake City who has been in the hospital for a year. She used to be a nurse, quite accomplished nurse, and she started getting sick, and then she got sicker, and then she ate some food one time that her husband got from Trader Joe's, and they cooked it up, and she got some kind of a poison that is like one of the rarest poisons on earth, and it's deadly. She got that and got sicker yet. She's in renal failure. She's on kidney dialysis. She can't walk. She hasn't been able to walk for months. And she's discouraged. I can understand why. If she just asked for some prayers. I'm not going to share her name with you yet until I get permission from her. But then I talked to her husband subsequent to that. And he's in as dire straits as she is. I mean, they basically have run out of all their money because he had to quit his job. He had a window cleaning business for 30 years. And he finally had to get out of it because he's having to take care of his wife so much over the last 3 or 4 years. His clients just kept bailing on him, and he ultimately lost his business. Then when she finally got on Medicare and Medicaid, and she's not even 60 years old yet, first of all they do is they take all of your assets, and then they start paying for your stuff. So they went through all that trauma. So all of us have all kinds of things going on in our lives, and sometimes we think we're the worst. Well, we're probably not the worst. There's probably somebody out there worse than us. But we should just be considerate of each other's and the needs each other has. I believe these are thoughts that we just read that are worthy of our consideration. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 now. 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul again points out the proper perspective for us to have in our lives. One which is all-encompassing, and one which should be our guide as Christians. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is discussing the approach we need to consider about the imminent return of Jesus Christ and all that leads up to that. This is a pretty profound part of Scripture. He's telling them constantly to be on their toes concerning the future. We heard a little bit about that today in the sermonette. He then discusses how we should treat each other and sort of wraps it all up with what we're going to read. Let's begin reading here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. First Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Two words. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. If this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I like the King James Version of verse 18. Let me reread it for those of you that don't have that version. Verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5, King James Version. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, as well as the NIV version with the same translation. This is for you, Ray. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. We are to be thankful in all circumstances. I know that's tough. Believe me, I know that's tough. I've been in circumstances where I haven't been able to be thankful like that. And I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have had situations like that. But we've got to press forward, and we got to keep moving positively. Not just when we are obviously being blessed, but all the time, even when the blessings don't seem to be there. Keep being thankful. In other words, we need a godly perspective on all of our circumstances. Let's now turn over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Here it is. Kids and some adults around the world are already compiling their quote-unquote wish lists for Christmas, and many of them will also come up with a list of resolutions for New Year's. It happens all the time. But there's another list that would be much more beneficial for everyone. A Thanksgiving Day list of everything we could be thankful for. One thing for sure is that we are still living in a relatively safe environment for the time being. And we hear it in opening and closing prayer all the time. We've got a beautiful place to meet in. We're meeting in peace. We're meeting in protection. We're safe as much as you can be. I'm convinced that if we began to make a list, we would find that we have much, much more to be thankful for than just our material possessions and maybe even our health. Here in Psalm 100, let's see a bit of David's approach of thankfulness to God. In my Bible, it says at the beginning of this psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving. Yours maybe say the same thing. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Excuse me. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. David had gone through some serious tough trials in his life, yet he was still understanding and appreciative of all that God had done to bless him and his people. Something that we should be thinking of in our lives as well. Rudyard Kipling was a great writer and poet whose writings many of us have probably all enjoyed, depending how old you are. Books like Captain's Courageous, The Jungle Book, The Man Who Would Be King, which turned into a phenomenal movie, Rikki Tikki Tavi, and the famous poem Gunga Din. I think I've read all those. Unlike many old writers, Kipling was one of the few who had the opportunity to enjoy his success while he was alive. He also made a great deal of money in his trade. Here's a little story about him. One time, a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you made from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter cynically reached down into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now give me one of your $100 words." Mr. Kipling took that $100 bill for a moment, looked at it, took it, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, "Thanks." He was right. The word thanks is certainly a $100 word. In fact, I would say it's more like a $1 million word. It is one of those words that a poet once wrote this. The word thanks is a word that is too seldom heard, too rarely spoken, and too often forgotten. How true. And shame on all of us, because we all suffer from these kinds of things in our lives. Sort of reminds me of a few other quotes that fit in here that I found, and most of them are just anonymous. Gratitude is the wine for the soul. Go on, get drunk. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Even though we can't have all we want, we ought to be thankful that we don't get what we deserve. Let's now turn to Luke 17. Luke 17. I'll have a couple more of those quotes for you later. Luke 17. If we would all adopt an attitude of thanksgiving into our lives would be changed. I am convinced of that. We would savor each day more, and that would change the way we tick inside, the way we act and react. If any nation ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be America. If any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be us. God's called. Just as our forefathers embraced this approach of thanksgiving to God for all that he's done, we, of all people, need to embrace his thankfulness and his gratitude. Remember Piglet from Winnie the Pooh? Sure you do. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, he could hold a large amount of gratitude. Good point of view to keep in mind, even when it comes from little Piglet. Here in Luke 17, we will read about the gratitude of one individual and what an impact it had on his entire life. Let's begin reading in Luke 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. This is talking about Jesus. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. The rabbinic tradition had it that lepers had to stand at least 100 paces away from everybody else. They could not even come close to Jesus. Verse 13, and these 10 lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They yelled at him because they were far away and there was a crowd. This was all they could do. There were no physician could heal them. No medicine could cure them. They were doomed for life. They were completely helpless with the onslaught of this deadly and awful and ugly disease. Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they turned around, and as they started walking toward the priest, they were cleansed. I mean, this was instantaneous. An immediate healing took place. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he probably started walking. He probably thought, I have fingers again. I have hands again. I still have ears. My nose is back. Shocked him. So all of them, and one of them, and when he saw he was healed in verse 15, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. That's important, just like we heard in the sermonette, totally expressing an attitude of gratitude. Yet he was the lowliest of the group, a Samaritan, the group that the Jews, especially the Sadducees, had total contempt for. They hated them. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, where are not there 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, the Samaritan? I could give a sermon on why the other 9 didn't come back to thank Jesus. Maybe I will at another time, because I think it'd make an excellent message. Verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Have you ever wondered why Jesus Christ said that after what he already interacted with this guy on? I mean, like the others, this man was already healed of his leprosy from the time he went to show himself to the priest. It was instantaneous. But when Jesus said to this man, your faith has made you well, something else happened. Commentaries have speculated that this one man, he wasn't just talking about a physical healing, he was talking about a spiritual one and a mental one. He was made whole spiritually as well as physically. And we too, folks, are made whole by our being more thankful to God in all of our circumstances. Let's turn now over to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, great chapter of the Bible. Philippians 4. Psychologists today tell us that a sincere gratitude, thankfulness, a sincere attitude of gratitude and thankfulness is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Selye, who is considered the father of stress studies, has said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. Here's another quote from you that supports that. If you can't be content with what you've received, be thankful for what you have escaped. And a thankful heart will endear others to us and us to others. Something for all of us to think about. For you see, thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but it's also good for the receiver. Here in Philippians 4, we'll see that Paul understood the concept of being thankful in all that we do again, and the power that it evokes when it is expressed. We'll first see a tremendous blessing being promised if we adopt this approach in our lives. Philippians 4, begin reading in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a powerful blessing that is promised if we're thankful in everything when we're going to God. Something that we probably don't get all the time. Then in Colossians 2, let's turn there. Colossians 2. There's another aspect Paul brings to our attention. Paul has a very interesting perspective on being thankful, I think. I think part of it came from all that time he had to endure in his life and being called by Jesus Christ to the road to Damascus. He suffered a lot, but he always came out on the other side knowing God was always going to be there for him, no matter what. Let's begin in Colossians 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, live like he lived. Rooted and built up in him and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. He keeps repeating this. No matter what we're going through in life or how we're approaching it or how it's approaching us, constantly requiring us, commanding us to be thankful. Paul knew the importance of this thankful, thanksgiving attitude, that he realized our spiritual growth is actually tied to it. Drop down to Colossians 4, just another page over probably. Paul really tried to drive this point home for all of us here in Colossians 4. We'll begin in Colossians 4 and verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make manifest as I am ought to speak. Paul knew that the thanksgiving attitude by God's people and their prayers actually opened huge doors through which the word of God could be preached. And we've heard concepts of this whole message multiple times through sermons over the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's one of the roles and responsibilities that we have as members of God's church. This thanksgiving attitude actually starts to work to help the church do what the church needs to do. Paul back then, and by God's church and ministry today. So as we put the upcoming Thanksgiving in perspective, I hope all of us stop and think about the many blessings that God has given to us. Remember that old hymn that we've sung in the past? Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Powerful passage, powerful hymn. I wish we'd sing that more often. Here's a quote that I saw that supports it. The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. Let me repeat that. The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. Powerful. So we get ready to close. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Once again, I'll let Paul provide us with the correct perspective in all this and all of our lives. Before we get there, there's a short story that we can all learn from. And hopefully I can get through it. A blind boy sat on the steps of a building with a hat by his feet. He held up a sign which read, "I'm blind, please help." There were only a few coins in the hat, spare change from folks as they hurried past. A man was walking by. He took a few coins from his pocket and dropped them into the hat. He then took the sign, turned it around, and wrote some other words on it. Then he put the sign back at the boy's feet so that everyone who walked by could see the new words. Soon the hat began to fill up. A lot more people were giving a lot more money to the blind boy. That afternoon, the man who had changed the sign returned to see how things were. The boy recognized his footsteps and asked, "Were you the one who changed my sign yesterday morning? What did you write?" The man said, "I only wrote the truth. I said what you said, but I said it in a little different way. I wrote, 'Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it.'" Perspective. Both signs spoke the truth. But the first sign simply said that the boy was blind, while the second sign conveyed to everyone walking by how grateful they should be to be able to see. When your life seems full of troubles, it seems difficult to maintain an attitude of gratitude, doesn't it? We all see our problems like a blackened storm cloud causing a dark shadow over our lives. And the times when everything seems to be going smoothly, we often take these special moments for granted too, don't we? Caught up by the bliss, comfort, and familiarity of it all, we can simply forget to be thankful. Simply put, gratitude is a habit. It's a way of looking at the world and all the good things in it with a feeling of appreciation, regardless of whether or not your current situation is to your liking. Gratitude is a heart-centered approach to being at peace with yourself and with all you have. When you practice this feeling of gratitude, it attracts even more things into your life for which to be thankful for. Go ahead, try it right now. Or what or who do you have in your life to be thankful for? Great little story, don't you think? God, through Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, wants us to be thankful in everything and to keep everything in its proper perspective. Let's begin in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we do not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the Bible the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." It's a relationship that we should have, and hopefully do have, with Jesus Christ. And that's what we've got to fall back on every single day of our lives. Brethren, we have an incredibly wonderful calling, an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than us. Christ said he will never leave us or forsake us. He is always going to be there for us. We can be thankful in everything, knowing that God is always there for us. And hopefully we can all develop an attitude of gratitude. Have a great Thanksgiving and the remainder of the Sabbath.